Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former Major Leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey Insider Cody Decker.
Happy belated Mother's Day. It is Monday, the day after Mother's Day, and we got a hell of a week of Major League Baseball action coming your way. It's Big Time Baseball with me, Cody Decker, former professional baseball player turned professional smartass on the radio, with my one and only main man. He is the one, the only, Tony Gwynn Jr. out of San Diego, California. How you doing, Tony? I've missed your voice.
I'm good, doing well, Cody. It's been a fun weekend of baseball and lots of walk-offs on Mother's Day. Let's get this thing rolling.
Absolutely. And speaking of Mother's Day, do you have any like memories of your playing days of your mom coming out? See, I will freely admit I am very spoiled when it comes to moms. I have a mom, Terry Decker. She, most supportive mom in the world, came out to just about any game or city or country I was playing in and supported me. She came out to WBC. She came out to Korea and Tokyo to watch me play. And, you know, she went down to winter ball in Panama and saw me play. She saw me play in every no-name minor league city and major league city. I'm very, very lucky when it comes to having a mother.
I'm right there with you. My mom had to endure a couple different decades of baseball, baseball watching, and she had to play mom and dad while my dad was, you know, doing his thing on the field. So I think we're both lucky in that regard. I think by the time I got to the big leagues, she was kind of tapped out. Once I came to San Diego is when I got to see her come to games more often. But she's seen a lot of baseball in her life for sure.
Yeah. Shout out to all the moms who made us all have the opportunity to get there.
Yeah. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms, including mine's Alicia Gwynn.
So let's talk a little bit about this weekend real quick. Quick recap of the weekend. It was walk-off city all over the league. Hey, San Diego, Jorge Alfaro hits a 500-foot bomb for your Padres. Torres hits a walk-off for the Yankees, of which we're definitely going to talk about. Ty France hits a walk-off for the Mariners, and I have not been quiet about how much I love the Mariners. And Anthony Rendon finally healthy there in Anaheim, hitting a walk-off for the Angels, who just simply do not want to stop this surge that they're on. Of the weekend, I mean, let's start with Alfaro. How was that for San Diego? I'm loving this team so much, especially without Fernando Tatis Jr. and how they're just absolutely dominating everybody.
That's the thing that I think people are, you know, overlooking here in San Diego is the fact that, you know, if I had told you the Padres had had 19 wins without Fernando Tatis Jr. at the beginning of spring training, I think you would have laughed at that a little bit, especially, you know, this early. But Padres have one of the best records in the league. They're doing without Fernando. And I was Alfaro's homer couldn't have been more perfectly timed. And I mean, Padres were on the cusp of being shut out in back-to-back games. They had shut out for 9 innings, shut out for 8.5 here going into this last game. And Alfaro gets a hanging slider. And I mean, he crushed it. And I mean, his backstory is he had had a conversation with his mom. His mom kind of predicted something along those lines, and he was able to fulfill it. It was raucous yesterday at Petco Park, man. Good win for the Padres. Now they got the Cubs coming. By the way, just a side note, the Marlins pitching staff is not a joke.
No.
These dudes are as good as anybody in terms of arms. Pablo Lopez, two nights ago, completely carved up the Padres. He could have gone a complete game, but they didn't allow him to finish it. He went eight, but that's just a side note. Padres get the win. It was a nice walk-off.
Yeah, you mentioned those Marlins. Don't let that 13-15 record fool you. This is a really good ball club. Yeah. Especially going over and nearly shutting out the San Diego Padres across country twice. 2 days in a row. I mean, that's I get it. There's no Fernando Tatis Jr., but they got a couple other guys that could kind of swing it a little bit. I don't know. I'm a fan of that Manny Machado guy. In fact, if you were smart like I was, you took a 25-1 flyer out on him early in the year. You can get him at 8-1 now. That's how good Manny Machado's doing. Speaking of Padres, ex-Padres, Ty France, man, walk off. For the Mariners, listen, I played with Ty France. I played against Ty France. I've watched this guy play. He is a talented, strong, right kid. I just dig the way he plays. You know what else I love about him? He reminds, and this is going to sound, he's better than I am. I can't stress this enough. He was always better than I was. But he reminds me in that he's not one of your anointed guys. He's not a high round draft guy. He had to hit out of his mind to get out of the big leagues and then hit it out of his mind to stay in the big leagues. There's nothing I don't love about Ty France.
Shout out to Ty France, Aztec for life. I've seen this kid since he walked on campus his freshman year at San Diego State. And all he has done since that point is hit. They had to find a position for him. He could play third, in my opinion, but a lot of teams didn't see him that way. They moved him to first. He was in the running for a gold glove. I'm telling you, this guy can play. He's a quiet leader. He isn't one of your anointed, you know, prospects that, you know, we pay so much attention to, but he's a grinder, man, and he can just flat out hit. He's an old school from that standpoint. And you're right, he's sneaky strong. It's not like he walks into a room and you see this freaking Herculean type figure. This dude is just an old school baseball player that can hit. And he's one of the leaders of that squad. I remember how disappointed he was when he got traded from San Diego, because this was the first year the Padres had actually like been really good, right? They were 2020. They were on their way to their first playoffs series in such a long time. And he got traded. And I remember talking to him and how disappointed he was to be getting out of San Diego and having to go to a team at the time that was at the bottom of the standings. And now all of a sudden, fast forward 2 years later, he's one of the leaders. He's one of the main guys pulling that rope. And, you know, his team is a team to be reckoned with. So shout out to Ty France.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't get enough of them. And speaking of which, those Mariners are 13-16. I did pick them to win the AL Central. This is a really good team in a really good division. And the reason why I'm bringing that up on this ridiculous walk-off weekend we just had in Major League Baseball, Anthony Rendon signs a huge contract, goes over to the Angels, has a disappointing first year. I think even he would be freely admit it was a disappointing time to play for the Angels. Team played poorly. He got hurt, missed most of the year. Now he's back. He's healthy. He's playing well. Hits a walk-off yesterday on this team. By the way, 19-11 are the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They're half game ahead of the Astros, or 18-11. The Angels seem like they're real. I don't know. It might be too early to say that. I do think their pitching is going to come to haunt them, but the Angels look really good. They do not look like they feel like slowing down. What do you think about their arms? Can they sustain this?
I don't know, and I've said this from the beginning. I don't know if their arms can continue to hold up throughout the season. I think it's a wait-and-see situation. But we've always thought that the offense had the potential to be one of the more elite offenses in the game. And now all of a sudden you got Rendon back right now. And I've always been a huge fan of Anthony, man. He can flat out hit when he's healthy, and he's starting to pick it up. He was started off slow. He started to swing the bat here better as of late, but I think this Angel team could be it. Now, listen, the Astros have run off like seven straight, and we kind of expect these runs from the Astros. Like, they'll run off 8, 9, 10 straight. They'll lose 5 in a row. And that's, I think, who the Astros are right now. They're still a very good team. Not as consistent as we've seen them in the past. And I think that does open the door for an Angels and a Mariners to take that division. I think we got to hold up and see in terms of the pitching, but certainly you do know you got two guys that are pitching well, really three guys that are pitching well, if you count Lorenzen. You got Ohtani, who I think obviously will be their ace, but I mean, Syndergaard has looked great so far, and if you can piece it together, they got a chance to be in the thick of things for this division.
Mm-hmm. You ain't lying. You ain't lying at all. And last walk-off of the weekend, the one we're saving for last because it's the juiciest and funniest. Torres hits a walk-off for the Yankees. Everything seems perfectly fine and normal until you put the microphone in Chris Woodward's hand, manager of the Texas Rangers. And this is not the first time Woodward has made a comment about something like this. In case you don't know this, there has been a lot of talk about the Yankee Stadium right field wall being a little short over the years ever since the new Yankee Stadium opened up. Well, we haven't heard many comments about it for like the last 5 years because it's kind of an old complaint. Well, he hits a home run, walk-off, Oppo Tank off the right field wall, and Chris Woodward comes out and says, that's not a home run in 99% of the ballparks in Major League Baseball. I'm just frustrated. Well, next thing you know, Aaron Boone comes out. They ask him what he has to say about that comment, and just a straight-up mic drop moment. Bad math there. There's only 30 ballparks in Major League Baseball. I'm not sure you can. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. People have been calling for Aaron Boone's head in the Bronx for 2 years. I say give him an extension for that comment alone.
That comment's definitely going to buy him more time, for sure, amongst the Yankee base. Listen, could somebody remind me when the new Yankee Stadium was put up? Was it like what?
Like 2008, 9, yeah, 7?
We're about 10, 12 years removed from when it came up at that time. I think it's time to move on. I mean, it's no different than the little short porch in Boston down the line. Oh, by the way, old Yankee Stadium wasn't much longer, wasn't much bigger down than the right field. So I get the frustration, right? It was a ball that probably doesn't go out in many parks, but you're not playing in many parks. You're playing in Yankee Stadium. Yeah, you're playing in Yankee Stadium.
And on top of that, they actually did the math. It was 106 off the bat. It was a line drive laser over the right center field wall. And by the way, they did the math, the actual math. It would have gotten out of 27 of the 30 ballparks. So
there you have it. There you have it.
Chris Woodward, this is not the first time you've made a comment about an Oppo Tank being hit off your team. I do believe you had something to say about the great Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah. A couple years ago. Now I'm just looking at him, man. If you hit an Oppo Tank off the Texas Rangers, apparently Chris Woodward's got some shit to say.
Just a little bit. I don't know what he has against opposite field tanks. I played against Chris, man. He used to use the opposite field quite often. I don't know why he is so upset with opposite field tanks. At least it feels like he's really upset with opposite field tanks. So, you know, I just think frustration got the best of him. And if he could have those words back, he probably would.
Yeah, Woody, you use the opposite field all the time, Woody. This is Kevin McKendall Black, bro.
Right. You made a living off of hitting the ball the other way, man. I don't know why you're so upset about it.
Well, looking throughout the league, even more great stuff coming. We do actually have a great thing about last weekend we just got to get to because, ladies and gentlemen, you did it. Cincinnati, you did it. You won a series.
Turn up, Cincinnati. You guys have done it.
You guys have nearly doubled your full season total of wins in 2 days.
Yeah, man. It's not often that you feel bad for a team, but we've seen the Reds already twice. We're done playing the Reds. And when I say we, I mean the Padres, not me, myself, but the Padres are done playing the Reds. And it's tough to watch, man. I mean, certainly it's not tough to watch when the team that you work for is playing for them and getting wins, but you feel as a former player, you feel for that. Like, Cody, can you imagine showing up to the ballpark every day? Like, I mean, you better have your own personal drive to push you through this season because you're going to get nothing from the fan base or, you know, in terms of wins and losses right now. This could be as bad as we've seen in a while.
Not to mention their front office not doing them any favors.
Oh, my Lord.
The worst possible comments. Where are they going to go? That's something that exited your lips?
Like, At what point in the game, or what point in his life, do you think that that was going to go well? We showed up. The Padres showed up about maybe a week after. And man, when I tell you there was nobody in the seats, oh my Lord. I don't know if I've been to a professional major league game like this ever where there was this few people showed up to a stadium.
Oh man, just so tough to watch.
It was sad.
It really is. Not to mention that you're talking about tough to watch. The Oakland A's have dropped 9 of their last 10, and you talk about no one showing up to a ballpark. Hey, listen, it's a tough sell to get anybody to go to the Coliseum in Oakland to begin with. Trust me, as a diehard, lifelong Raider fan, I hate that place. I hate that place, and it's even worse for baseball. I understand the plight of A's fans. I feel terrible for their fan base. I feel bad for the Cincinnati fan base, but, you know, it's just – these teams that are clearly not competitive. Now, at least I can say the A's have a slight excuse. We know what their real plan is. The real goal.
Right. They're trying to get up out of there.
Yeah, they're trying to get the hell out of Dodge. I get it. Okay? I don't like it, and I'd like them to be a little less obvious about it.
Right. They're not hiding it at all, Bacardi. Yeah. They're not hiding it at all.
But at least I get it. The Cincinnati Reds, they're not going anywhere, and like their president said, neither are their horribly disenchanted fans.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, the horribly disenchanted fans is going somewhere, and it ain't going to be at Great American Ballpark.
It's Bengals games.
That's what I can tell you about those fans.
Oh, man, so tough. Well, on the bright side of Major League Baseball, the Yankees, man, 8-2 in their last 10, tied with the best record in Major League Baseball, best record in the American League, obviously, 19 wins. First team to 20 wins, by the way, across town in New York, the Mets. But, yeah, the Yankees looking really good. I had this team tabbed at the beginning of the season, finishing third in their division. And I know that's a crazy thing we're saying now, but hell, you saw the panic button in Bronx after week one when they weren't
undefeated.
Garrett Cole. Yeah, let's we gotta get rid of this guy.
We gotta move him.
Come on. What? It's wrong with you people. Like, insane. Yeah. At least the Boston fans have something to complain about. Those guys are apparently allergic to Wood right now, which is insane with the lineup they currently have. But Yankees looking incredible. Rays looking incredible. 7-3. Not to mention the Blue Jays looking really good. I'm bringing all this up just because the AL East was the thing we came into this season just harping to be the greatest thing in the world. It doesn't look like it's the greatest thing in the world. It looks like it's a three-team race until the Boston Red Sox can collectively pull their heads out of their ass.
Listen, the Red Sox thing is so interesting because, to me, this is why team dynamic becomes so important, right? You bring in Trevor Story, who's a terrific player, right? But you also have the Bogart situation where they haven't come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. And you wonder how much of that is playing in there, right? Is Story going to be the replacement? Although he hasn't swung the bat all that well either, but you wonder about those type of dynamics when the season starts. It's hard to put your finger on what it is that is going on there. And listen, it is early. There's plenty of time to turn it around and figure it out. But that is probably been the most surprising part about the AL East. We did think that that was going to be the strongest division. As it turns out, it seems like the NL West is actually the strongest division in baseball. And the Yankees, man, that's the type of team that they seem to play in these spurts where they're really hot and then they're really not at times. And the Blue Jays haven't quite ascended to the level we thought they were. You know, from there, the Rays just keep they're a machine. I think we talked about this over the last 2 years. They figure it out. They have a way they go about it. And those guys play well in that environment. So we'll see how the AL East shakes out. But the Yankees right now, they look good. As I'm talking about, the Yankees getting ready. They're starting right now, it seems like, playing the Rangers.
You just mentioned that now. You mentioned the AL West, the AL East, we all expected to be the juggernaut division. Yes, as it sits right now, hey, the Blue Jays still looking pretty damn good. They're 17-13.
Yeah.
Rays 18-11, Yankees 19-8. These three teams are going to be battling it out, I think, all season long. I have a co-host on another show on the BetQL Network named Ryan Horvat, who I want to hear your thoughts, just your reaction, because he made a bet at the beginning of the season that I don't want to tell you my thoughts on it. I just want to hear your thoughts. He bet that the Rays were going to finish this year on their season total under, which means he bet that the Rays were going to win less than 88 games. Your thoughts?
I don't see that happening.
I don't think that is ever going to happen again. When he told me that, he's like, well, they traded away Meadows. They traded away this guy.
They trade away somebody every year. They let somebody go every year, and they still finish around 95 and 99 wins every year. I can't explain it. It's unbelievable what they do.
It's like I told you when they traded away Wade Meadows for some minor leaguers. I just said, hey, listen, I don't know who these minor leaguers are, but they're clearly the greatest players who ever lived.
you did say that.
That's the way the Rays are.
Listen, again, I think we talked about this as well. If the Rays want to make a trade with you, your alarm should be just blaring in your ear. Yeah. Like, maybe I don't want to give away this guy since they're asking for him. You're going to see him, and you know you're going to see these guys that you move within the next year and a half.
You know you're going to see that guy making four huge hits in October.
Right.
Just somehow. If I'm AJ Preller, and AJ Preller is a smart guy, but AJ Preller, we have to admit, has been, I wouldn't say defeated. Let's just say the Rays have won a couple of the trades. It's not that the Padres didn't get something out of it. I'm just saying the Rays definitely have won out on their trades. I think if AJ Preller is ever called again by the Rays saying, hey, we'd like this double-A guy, AJ Preller should immediately call that double-A guy up to the big leagues immediately.
That and block the number for the Rays.
Whoever's
calling him.
Extend him for 5 years.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, speaking of which, you know, you talked about the division in the NL West. Dude, you are not lying. You talk about best division in baseball. It's the only division in baseball where not three teams, not four teams, but all five teams are above 500. It's easy to make fun of the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. Guess what? Yeah. Rockies and the Diamondbacks are beating the hell out of everybody. They're 15 and 14, the Diamondbacks, and they're in last place.
They're in the wrong division right now. But listen, it's been quite something to see. You may have could have expected the Rockies, because first of all, they play in Colorado, so there is a wild card there anyway. But they also brought in Chris Bryant, so you know there's an argument to be made that all right, they're trying to do something. This is you could possibly see them playing 500 baseball. But the Diamondbacks, who, listen, I'm a big fan of Torey Lovello. I think he gets the most out of the teams that he has year in and year out. They're playing well, man. And it's really been around their starting pitching that has been really terrific. Merrill Kelly is off to a great start. Madison Bum, although he got ejected for some ridiculousness from the umpires a couple last week, he's been good. I mean, that whole staff has been pretty good, and it's kept them in ball games, and they've been able to win some. And listen, if you'd have told me they were sitting 15 and 14, right on this date on May 9th, I don't know that I think I would have probably laughed in your face.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, looking throughout the league, man, there's just some good baseball being played right now.
There really is.
One team I'm going to bring up right now is a team I don't really believe in, but they are playing good baseball. You cannot say that the Minnesota Twins aren't damn good. Byron Buxton looks like that MVP-type player that everyone's been talking about him being. Carlos Correa, obviously a game changer. They've been pitching really well. However, I still think that team on the south side of Chicago is better. Those White Sox have won seven straight, and they have a whole all-star team on the IL right now.
They're not even close to healthy. That's why when they got off to a slow start, it was hard to pay too much attention to it, right? I mean, they know what this team is capable, but we who watch them know what they're capable of. And they're not even close to full strength. And now, as you mentioned, they're starting to play some good baseball. Listen, I've been high on Minnesota. I think Byron, if he can stay healthy, he could be the guy that is considered who could be in that conversation for best player in the league. He's got that kind of talent, but he's got to stay healthy. The other team that I got a chance to see that I don't know how, it's kind of very similar to what the Giants did last year and what we're seeing the Diamondbacks do early this year. The Cleveland Guardians, I almost said Indians, I caught myself. The Cleveland Guardians, they can swing it, man. That lineup is a pretty good lineup. You may not have heard of a lot of the names in there, but offensively, they can pull, man. And then you get the pitching that they never seem to not have, no matter who they get rid of. They are like what Tampa is offensively. They come up with on the pitching side, it feels like, in Cleveland. So the NL Central is going to be something to watch. I still think you're right. The White Sox are the team to beat, especially once they get healthy.
Yeah, I truly, truly think that. The Twins are still looking pretty good, though. 18-11. White Sox back above 500, 14-13 with this 7-game winning streak that they're on. And yeah, the Guardians currently sitting at 14-14. They do not look bad. It's just I don't expect them to stick. I think they got off to a real hot start, and I think things have kind of evened out a little bit. I think they're going to be around 500 probably.
For That's what I agree.
Yeah. But these White Sox, man, they're about to get Moncada back. They're about to get Joe Kelly back, who's also there in AAA getting ready. Lance Lynn will be back by the end of May. Liam Hendricks is back and looks like Liam Hendricks again, I might add. Lucas Giolito, he has been back from the IL and has looked like a true ace. Oh, and by the way, Dylan Cease, I have dubbed the strikeout prop king of the universe. He is the greatest thing on earth. If you are into gambling and baseball gambling, if you want to take an over on someone every single game and always win, take my strikeout prop king, Dylan Cease. Take the over. I don't care who he's playing. The 27 Yankees. I don't care. He's K-ing 10 of them. Take it. Always take it. God, I like this White Sox team.
The White Sox team is legit. I want to talk a little bit about the NL Central. Let me ask you about Brewers, Cardinals. Really the two teams I see with the most, you know, the teams that are going to run away with that division.
The only teams in the division.
Is Milwaukee's offense for real? Can they maintain this? Because that's been the thing that's held them back, right, is the offense. But right now, those dudes is as hot as anybody in the league right now. You know what their pitching is going to give you on a nightly basis. I also think the Cardinals team as a whole is a little bit better, I think. But right now, the Brewers are the team that's rolling.
Well, here's the thing: what we didn't expect was the Cardinals to pitch this well. Especially, I'm gonna throw out. You want a Padre blast from the past? Miles Michaelis has looked incredible this season.
Yeah,
he really has.
You almost could see that coming, right? Like he has been refining his skill level. It seems like every year. He got a little banged up last year, but yeah, man, he knows how to pitch. I'm really into that these days, Cody. I'm really into these dudes that can pitch. Mm-hmm. Not just hit 97, 98 and do that all day, but can actually think the game and pitch to location. I'm really into watching those type of guys now. Mikolas is one of those types.
Yeah, he's up there. He's been looking real good. But yeah, the Brewers, have they been swinging it good? Yes. I still am not sold on their offense, though.
Me neither.
I still think it's just too old. I think they missed out on some guys they should have either A, brought back, or B, gone out and signed. One that is sneaky, and I know this is not a sign that's going to, you know, change the world. But the Mets getting their hands on Escobar at a really reasonable price where the Brewers could have easily have afforded him, that was a good piece the Brewers should have held on to.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's one of those pieces that you don't know you need until you do, right? It's like he's consistently, when he's healthy, consistently driving in 100 runs. Like, who can't use a guy like that? He is an RBI machine. And listen, that Mets team, man, I know since you brought them up, they're really good.
They're really good. I've been like waiting for those moments. You know, there's always moments at this point of the Mets season where something like bad happens where it's just small though. It's not big. It's just like a little glitch. And you go like,
you're like, oh,
you can see it. It's going to happen. It's going to fall apart at some point because there goes one of the seams. That's just a seam, but that one seam is going to lead to 14 games somehow. I don't feel like this year. I don't feel like it at all this year. In fact, this team's doing it without Jacob DeGrom. This team is the best pitching staff without Jacob DeGrom. And they're getting back Jacob DeGrom. This team might never lose.
The most important thing you said in there is when this – it's not just that little seam happens and we're like, oh, here we go. It almost feels like in the past – they knew it too. Like that little thing would happen and it'd be like, you could just see the body language change in that team. And it would happen. It would start to fall apart. To me, the biggest thing about this team, this Mets team this year, is they look like they believe they're as good as everybody says they are for the first time. And I think that goes a long way, especially when you're dealing with 162 games. This guy's this is where I think the change has happened most for the Mets.
Not only that, you mentioned that you didn't believe it like in the past. Last year was a great case of that, because this team was like up 10 games in first place at this point last year too. Like they were beating up on everybody, but even we were looking at like, this doesn't feel real. This feels like this is going to come to an end. This feels like a weird honeymoon thing, and we're all just kind of lying to ourselves. This year, this team feels like they're just steamrolling teams. They were down by 7 the other night, and at no point did I think they were in danger of losing. They put up a 7 spot in the 9th, and I'm like, this team is really – this team – it's like this team and the Dodgers. Both teams just look almost bored beating the hell up on these teams.
Yeah, it's an expected practice every time they come out, step on the field. Like, all right, we're going to beat this team's ass, and then we're going to move on to the next one, and we'll just rinse and repeat as much as we can.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we talked about who's ice cold. We've talked about who's heating up. What about those teams in the middle? Who are these teams that you think have a real shot of kind of making a little bit of run? Because there's a couple teams in here that I think are pretty good and primed to do something. One of which we've already mentioned, White Sox, obviously, but they're already in the midst of it. They're 7 wins in, and they're about to get pretty much close to fully healthy soon. Once they don't even need to be fully healthy. They get close to fully healthy, they're just going to be deadly. But a team that I think everybody's going to need to look out for, the Atlanta Braves are starting to play some good baseball again. They're 14-16 right now, and here they come.
I do a weekly hit with one of the radio shows out in Atlanta, and that's the thing I've been like preaching the most, is that this team is going to play well. It's going to happen, and when it does, it's going to happen quickly. And you're starting to see it. All of a sudden, Ronald Acuña Jr. comes back, and there's just a different energy about this ball club. So, yes, the Braves are one team. The Mariners are another team.
That's my second pick. Look at you. You and me, simpatico. Same. They say great minds think alike, Tony. That's just a fact.
I think it's true, bro. I think it's true. No, I think obviously the Mariners are another team. You got to look at the Giants. You cannot just completely put them away. I know they're in a tough division, but I think they got that kind of belief too. And then we've already talked about the Cardinals and Blue Jays as well, but those are my four teams that I'm most, I will mostly pay attention to, because they haven't got off to the start that I think everybody thought they would, but they're very dangerous teams moving forward.
I'm going to throw one more in there.
Okay.
And that's the Phillies. And it's because of their offense. They have not swung the bat the way they should. This team should be putting up 15 runs a game. I'm interested to see what their offense could do, but you want to talk about a pitching staff I do not believe in? It's Philadelphia.
That's why I didn't say Philadelphia. I have no belief. Not necessarily their pitching staff. I think their starting pitching is good enough. But as we saw, 7-1 or 8-1 at the time.
Yeah.
And we saw something that we've really seen for the last three years from this bullpen. And I'm not convinced at this point that they have addressed it enough to where it can make a difference in a National League East that contains the Braves and the Mets. And that's not even to mention the Marlins, who by the way, against the division this year, are 8-1. They've lost one game in that division. So I'm not convinced at all that Philly, their back end, at least the bullpen, can be good enough to put them in this class.
You know, we mentioned earlier about how great it would be if the Brewers were able to get their hands on Escobar and what their offense would be right now if they still had Escobar. I'm thinking very similar things about the Marlins right now if Jeter got his way and they had their hands on Castellanos. Because Castellanos wanted to be a Marlin. Now he's over there in Philly. Can you imagine if you added a Castellanos at bat to that team with that pitching staff? We might be talking about the Marlins overtaking the Braves and giving the Mets a serious run for their money.
Dude, they got some nice pieces over there. You add Castellanos along with Chisholm, who I'm obsessed with after watching him play.
I love him.
This
four-game
series. This dude has lightning in his hands. And don't let the small stature fool you, man. That ball he hit opposite field yesterday was almost in the same spot Alfaro ended the game in. I mean, that's how wiry, quick, and strong that dude is. And he is good for baseball. I can't say that enough.
All right, okay. I want to make this. This is going to sound like an insult, and I hope you guys don't think it is one. I had played with Chaz Chisholm back when we were with the Diamondbacks together. He was a little younger than me, but I would take care of him during spring training. And I cannot stress this enough, and this will sound like an insult, but it does not. I have never met a player who loves himself and talks about himself more than Chaz Chisholm. If Chaz Chisholm strikes out 5 times in a game, but homers once that week, we're talking in the dugout all day about Chaz's home run 3 days ago. I know this sounds like an insult, but it's not. I wish to God I could see the world the way Chaz could, because at no point, no matter what happens to Chaz, there's not a single moment where Chaz doesn't, forget believe, doesn't know he's the best player on the field.
And you know what, Code? I say this to my son, my 6-year-old son. That's like the quality that I wish I had most. And I think you and I could both attest to this. The dudes that we played with that have that and also have the talent, they end up being pretty good at the big league level.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You know what the truth is? And this is not because Chaz isn't smart. Chaz is extremely smart. It's just
super smart.
It's more so I feel like you and I are too smart to know that we aren't that good.
I think in the back of our minds we did know. We just the saying goes, fake it till you make it. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah, picked and chose my spots, knew what I could do, knew what I could accomplish, and then did it. But yeah, Chaz,
I wasn't gonna push it too much further than that.
Yeah. But Chaz truly, even if he can't do it, doesn't matter. He knows he can, and that's at the end of the day why Chaz Chisholm is Chaz Chisholm. I can't get enough
without
of
a doubt.
Just cannot get enough of the guy. Well, guys, it's been a blast today here on Big Time Baseball with me and Tony Gwynn. Tony, where can people find you and listen to you in San Diego?
You can find me literally everywhere in San Diego. You can catch me on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. You can catch me on the radio broadcast as well with the Padres nightly at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter, at Tony_Gwynn Jr. on IG.
Follow me on Twitter at Decker6. That's the number 6. And, of course, Instagram. You can follow me at Antihero Baseball. Check out all the shows I'm doing for Odyssey. Big Time Baseball, of course. Like, share, and subscribe with me, Tony Gwynn Jr. and John Heyman. Of course, Bet for the Cycle, which is live every Saturday for 4 hours on the BetQL Network. Not to mention BetMGM, MLB podcast powered by BetQL. Make sure you check us all out. Oh, and by the way, I do a little show on 670 The Score in Chicago called Down the Line with Cody Decker. Check them all out. Check us out. Like, share, and subscribe to Big Time Baseball wherever you get your favorite podcast. Guys, that's it for us this week. Enjoy you some baseball. Tony, thank you so much for talking baseball with me. It's always my favorite time of the week.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Cole.
Absolutely. Next week, see ya. Be safe out there. Enjoy baseball. Beat it.